Fellow Freedom fans, David Allen Carmichael back here with my Faith and Freedom Show. Talk about the issues of the day normally from a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, the basis of right versus wrong. We were talking about gold, gold manipulation, the Gold Antitrust Action Committee, but we interrupt this program for a special message about extreme faith. How's that, guys? So don't be scared. So all you guys who don't like to listen to that religious stuff, this isn't religious. This isn't religious. I'm going to tell you a true story, something that happened to me. So I'm going to give a little bit of a background to it. It's going to seem so extreme. In fact, it'll be something to talk about in your little groups. When you gather with your friends, you're going to talk about this really weird stuff that relates to this guy, David Allen Carmichael. Yes. 1996, I was, as I say often on the show, I'm a Christian extremist. I love God. I love my neighbor as myself. That's my goal. So that's what I do. But I'm pretty extreme. I just got to tell you, I'm one of those religious radicals. I love God and I love my neighbor as myself. So in 1996, I happened to be in the Navy of all things. So professional killer of all things while you're loving God. Just don't worry about it. It all worked out. Well, I came to a place where there was just something that goes on in life that I found was contrary to biblical practices. And since I'm one of those Christian extremists that love God, love my neighbor as myself, I tried to abide by those biblical teachings and actually apply them in my life wherever I find them. You know, you find something, you read it in the Bible and say, don't talk about it, just do it. Don't be a theologian, just do it. I think because when you spend a lot of time thinking about it or talking about it and not doing it, then of course people say, and I think rightly so, you end up becoming a hypocrite. So you don't want to do that. So I was doing what the Bible said. The problem is doing what the Bible said conflicted with a mainstream administrative practice of the United States Navy. So there's certain things that the Navy does, that the banks do, that the voting booth does, that the driver's license people do. They ask you to, embrace a certain thing as an element of your identity. And I realized if I was actually going to do what the Bible says, it was something I could never do again. So I went to the Navy and I said, "Dear Navy, I'm a chief petty officer, been around here for 17 years, looking forward to my 20-year retirement on my last shore duty before retirement coming up. I would like a religious accommodation. Would you please find an alternative to this universal identification thing? Could you find something else that you can identify your personnel records with that isn't the same thing that everybody else on the planet is using? It's giving me the biblical heebie-jeebies. Could you please come up with some pseudo-identification embrace with kind of thing?" And as a matter of fact, I found out later, they actually had exactly what I was asking for. They actually had available in their procedures. But nonetheless, what happened was, when I posted this request, most people, if you've ever been in the Navy, you realize something like that is something the commanding officer would have to get involved in a decision about something like that. Wouldn't you think the commanding officer would like to know when one of his chief petty officers, oh, by the way, I think there were 12 people on the staff that I was working on. 12 people. If one of your 12 people happens to be a career chief petty officer, puts in such a request like that, you would think the commanding officer would want to know about it. Well, guess what? Commanding officer never found out about it. I was transferred using the wrong paperwork transfer and the wrong paperwork for doing the transfer and the wrong paperwork for obligated service that I needed to sign prior to transfer, and all kinds of things were going on, and they just whisked me out of that command without the commanding officer knowing what was going on. And if you're in the military, you say, "Well, get out of here. They can't just do that." Well, if the executive officer gives you an order, you will not talk about this to anybody, including the commanding officer, until I arrange a time and place for it. Guess what the executive officer had just done? He had just gone and looked up the regulations with regard to communications with the commanding officer. And he just gave me a direct order that was lawful. His behavior was unlawful, but the order was lawful. And of course, I had to obey it. So let's just say the minimum or the requirement to have the commanding officer deal with this and send it to high authority within 10 days of the request, that didn't happen. So they transferred me to the next place, and then the next place I was in the same situation. Well, let's just say I never got to talk to a official commanding officer. There are people below commanding officers who will do things without the commanding officer knowing about it, and it affected me. I ended up at 17 years being whisked out of the Navy. They put voluntary separation on the discharge papers, which I refused to sign. And when when you refuse to sign something, they have to write down why the person refuses to sign. And of course, I objected with these four blocks that explained that it was voluntary, and it's a long story. So I challenged it right from the beginning that I was being whisked out of the Navy because I was not conforming to the norm. Now, I don't have a problem getting kicked out of the Navy for not conforming to the norm. The problem is you had better be obeying the law while you're kicking me out. We're all going to obey the law here. Everybody, me and you and everybody. The guys with nuclear weapons ought to be conscious of obeying law. I think it's just healthy. I think it's a smart way to approach things. Let me just press on. So I got kicked out of the Navy because of the audacity of being such a Christian extremist that I was actually going to practice what the Bible said. And of course, practicing what the Bible said was in a conflict with the Navy. What if I said, hey, I'm a conscientious objector and I don't want to kill anybody anymore or whatever. You know, can you take me out of this job and make me a command career counselor or something like that? Would they not tell the commanding officer? I mean, there's a certain amount of processing that has to happen when those situations come up. Long story short, I found myself without a job, three years short of retirement, on what was going to be a very cush shore duty after 5.5 years of arduous sea duty. And some of you say, I was in the Navy, you don't have 5.5 years sea duty. Exactly. I was on a 4-year rotation, and I ended up doing 5.5 years arduous sea duty prior to this event. So, and I don't know if you can hear it in the background, we've got this seasonal We Wish You a Merry Christmas thing that goes off at the top of the hour. But let me just tell you, let me continue this story. So what happens is I find myself after 17 years in the Navy out of a job. That's what happened. I was out of a job. And so here I am out of a job. And also, it's just one of those things where when they say, well, what are you doing out of a job? How do you explain that to your potential employer? It was kind of difficult. I was having a difficult year. And let me just read to you. And my whole point of this thing is that I intended, as I came here today, to tell you a story. It was a true story. Every now and then I talk about the issues of the day always from a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, the basis of right versus wrong. And that's my reference for you because I want you to hold me accountable to that reference. We may disagree about how habeas corpus applies in a terrorist situation. We may disagree. But you know what? You know what my reference is? The Constitution. If you're doing something and you're a government agent, and you're doing it outside the authority of the Constitution, you're acting lawlessly. Lawlessly. We don't have a government instituted so that people could act lawlessly, can take power and act lawlessly. And my biblical frame of reference is that seems like it would be influenced by a lawless one. We don't want the lawless one being in charge. That's just the way it is. So that's my constitutional basis. Then if you've got a constitutional basis for acting, and you can see it in the Constitution, and you really want to understand it, then I use a biblical reference. What should I use my own imagination? I mean, I I've got just as much of an imagination as everybody else, but is that what I should be using? No, I'm going to go to biblical reference. How else am I going to know right from wrong? I'm going to have to make it up. It won't be right from wrong. I'm not going to weigh the pros and cons on the left and the right until first, either the authority to be talking about it as far as a government discussion comes up in the Constitution, and then I use the Bible for my authority. And then if God's indifferent to what we're talking about, then we use, what are all the pros and cons? And then we can figure things out from there. Now, that's what I normally talk about. But I call this the Faith and Freedom Show. I say our freedom comes in proportion to our faith. That's hard for people to understand, but I keep saying it. And my hope is that eventually it's going to sink into people. And little by little, I explain it to people. I do it in spoonfuls because we don't have a society today that's able to take, let's say, something that is, say, straight out of the Bible. You don't want to just quote the Bible today. Well, I don't know. You could. But a lot of people just don't get it. So what I'm doing is, it's kind of a spoonful of sugar will help the medicine go down. So I say things like, our freedom comes in proportion to our faith. I say things like, you can't be the home of the free if you're not going to be the home of the brave. And you know, I can actually find that in the Bible, that concept. It's just a catchy phrase. You're not going to be in the home of the free unless you're the home of the brave. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to come back after this break and we're going to talk about something. What happens when you are, let's say you're a religious extremist like I am, a Christian extremist, I love God, love my neighbor as myself. I come up with something that's in the Bible and it's a prohibition. It says, do not act beyond this boundary. And I say to people, hey, believe the Bible. It's good stuff. I encourage everybody to live by it. And then you get this little thing that pops up in front of you. What do you do? But if I abide by that, they're probably going to kick me out of the Navy. What should you do? But I'm just 3 short years. I'm just 3 years short of retirement. What should you do? I'm going to lose my reputation. Even those who say they're Christian extremists that love God and love their neighbor as ourselves are probably going to reject me and think I'm a complete heretic and basically ostracize me. And, of course, if I look like an idiot, so will all of my family. What are you going to do? Do it. This is not going to be the home of the free unless it's a home of the brave. Do you have the courage to do, and this is for those, there's people listening that some are atheists. I get calls from atheists. And some people are, religious. What do you do when you get put in a situation where the Bible says this, love God and love your neighbor as yourself, as an example? What choice do you make when it comes down to your own convenience? Well, they're not putting a gun to my head and telling me to deny God. You know what's amazing? Is we're increasingly not the home of the free because we're increasingly not the home of the brave. We're capitulating these precepts, biblical precepts, Christian worldview. We're capitulating our speech because of inconvenience and being ostracized. That's far short of a gun to the head. Nobody's putting a gun to your head and saying, deny God. You know what? They don't have to. They're just saying, look a little bit weird and feel a little uncomfortable. Deny God or you will not fit in with the norm, with the societal norm. You will not be called societal norm. Okay, societal norm, we're going to come back after this break. We're going to talk about this, and I'm going to tell you a true story of what happens when you have the audacity to act as if you're in the home of the free because you are going to be living as if you are part of the home of the brave. We'll be back.